Luke's Gospel and chapter 6, I'm going to read from verse 20. And then we have a bonus today as well, which I'll tell you about in just a second. So Luke 6, reading from verse 20. Looking at his disciples, he, Jesus, said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." And then the bonus is just a line from Matthew's Gospel, from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. This is on page 968. Matthew 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." So this last few weeks, reflecting on what we know as the Beatitudes, and I've entitled upside down, "The Blessings of Jesus." And the Beatitudes come to us as they're written in Matthew's Gospel and also in a version of them in Luke's Gospel, and we may receive them as blessings for us that comfort our souls, that encourage us in our Christian walk and so on. And yet in their day, when Jesus spoke these blessings, they clashed with the culture in which he lived. And these blessings clashed with the religious culture of the day of Jesus. And if you wanted someone who would stand and give a speech and catch everybody's attention from the off with a shock in terms of what he opens, what he has to say with, these words are that. These blessings would have shocked and surprised and even revulsed some, because this is not how blessings worked in the ancient world. But as we reflect on these blessings, as I mentioned earlier, it's about us getting under the skin of the kingdom of God, asking the question, what does the kingdom of God feel like? What does it look like? What does it, I want to use the word smell like. You know, we can't quite smell the kingdom of God, but you know what I mean. Using our senses to understand what are the values, the ethos of the kingdom of God. And these blessings, and also the rest of the Sermon on the Mount that we have in Matthew 5, 6, 7, they help us get beneath the surface of the kingdom of God. And what Jesus has to say here, it is fundamentally about Jesus. It is also about the kingdom of God, and it is also about justice. These three things are encapsulated here in these verses through the Sermon on the Mount, and I guess more particularly throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, which is why I from time to time encourage people, you know, read the Gospels, embed yourself in the Gospels. one of the names of Jesus that we were given earlier from John 15. I am the true vine. And the encouragement there when Jesus speaks to his disciples is that we in some way should be grafted in to Jesus. And as we are grafted in like a plant into Jesus, into almost like a vine, I was going to say a fruit tree, but like a vine, we begin to draw the goodness of Jesus up into us. And we are transformed by that. And as we read the Gospels, as we embed ourselves in the life and the teaching and the example of Jesus, so we draw up the Spirit of Jesus and it transforms us. So we're thinking about the values of the kingdom of God, and through all of this we are reflecting on what matters, what is important, who is significant, and who has status. So the beatitude for today. It's the beatitude that we've read just a moment ago, the fourth in this list in Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. But you may remember when we looked and read from Luke's Gospel, Luke simply said this: blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Now you might wonder, well, if they're both, Matthew and Luke, recording the words of Jesus, why are they different? Why is it that Matthew has said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled? And Luke says, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Scholars generally accept that Matthew was written before Luke. And there's a very high probability that Luke, when he wrote his accounts of the life, the teaching, the times of Jesus, on the side, the chances are he had a copy of Matthew. And so he was copying some of Matthew, he was adapting bits of Matthew, but also he was adding and editing at the same time because he had a different perspective. And here it seems as if Luke has read this particular beatitude, this particular blessing, and it's as if he's calling back to Matthew and saying, Matthew, look, mate, just cut to the point. What is this beatitude about? Don't mess about with all these nice words. It's about those who hunger right now. It's about those who suffer injustice right now. It's about the hungry and the homeless and the poor. I think that's what Luke is wanting to say. Let's just cut to the chase and say it as it is. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. And so I think that's something of what Luke is doing. But then we can take another look at what Matthew says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I've mentioned before this word that's translated in our Bibles as righteousness. For some reason, and I've scratched my head over this, and I don't really know why it's happened. I've traced the history of this particular translation, and it doesn't help. But the same word in Greek is translated either as righteousness in the Bible or justice, but it's the identical word. And sometimes the translators in the Bible translate it righteousness, and sometimes they take the word and they translate the identical word as justice. And you might be interested to know that in classical, when people translate classical Greek and the classical ancient classics, this word is always translated as justice. always translated as justice. So what we might want to do is say, okay, this word, what we can read quite justifiably is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. And then they will be filled, Luke says, they will be satisfied. Again, it's one of these anomalies of translation, you know, but it's identical words. But I think it reads better if we say, for they will be satisfied. There is that sense of hungering and thirsting and yearning and longing and saying to God, this is not how the world should be. We see all this injustice and we say, it shouldn't be like this. We don't know what to do about it, but it shouldn't be like this. And we look forward to a day when we will be satisfied. And those who hunger and thirst for justice will be satisfied. Now, something else I've spoken about before is love and peace. And this is very kind of love and peace. Yeah, any of you brought up in the 60s? Yeah? You identify with this, love and peace? Yeah, don't admit it, you know. But essentially, the story of God that we have in the Bible spans these two great themes, love and peace. Love because God is love. God is love. Everything God is and everything that God does is love because God is love. God can't do anything else. You know, we sometimes, you know, I've sometimes been asked the question in schools, can God do anything? And the truth is, no, he can't. And you say, well, can't. No, he's limited by his own character. And his character is love. Can God sin? No, he can't. Can God do anything that is not loving? No, he can't. Because that's who he is. That's his being. God is love. So the story of God that we have in the Bible is about love. But where is that story heading? It's heading to peace. It's heading to this situation, this place where there is peace. Now, this peace is about wholeness. It's about what God intended for us and for all creation. So God is working in love within all of creation, humans and animals and all beings and all relationships and nations and communities, in love, in order to bring about this situation, this new creation, as the Bible calls it, where there is this beautiful wholeness, where there is this good relationship between God and humans and animals and all of creation is brought together. And the Jews have this word shalom, which they use, which means, simply translated, means peace. But it means wholeness. It's, if you pray the blessing or say the blessing of shalom upon someone, what you really mean is not just peace in terms of, you know, the absence of war or the absence of conflict, but wholeness. Everything beautifully and wonderfully in its place. For yourself, so you are in a beautiful and wonderful relationship with yourself. A beautiful and wonderful relationship with God. And a beautiful and wonderful relationship with everybody else and all else of creation. That's what this picture of peace is all about. So the story, the Bible story, the God story is about love, always working in love. But the goal, the new creation, is peace, wholeness, togetherness. And, you know, I was once asked, how is God going to do this? And the answer is, I have not a clue. Do you know? But I'm confident. This is why, you know, I think, how is God going to achieve this out of the chaos and injustice in the world? How is God going to bring about this wholeness, this peace? And the answer is, I don't know. But one day, I will see it. And on that day, I'll go, wow. And that will be my word of worship on that day. I'll just go, oh, wow. I would never have guessed you could do it like that. Because everything God does to bring about the peace will be loving. And we'll just, oh, my. And that's why on the final day, as it were, we will sing praises to God, and why all of creation will sing forever. Because we'll all go, wow. We never would have guessed. And it's extraordinary. So love working towards peace, this wholeness. Now, I need to unveil this arrow, because there's one thing that kind of blocks this move from love to peace. And that is the need for justice. That is what is needed. There needs to be justice. There needs to be a putting right. There are many ways in which we could define justice. And just all of creation in good relationship with God and all of creation. That's what I'm defining justice as today. That's what we're looking for. So all of creation in good relationship with God and all of creation. So everything in its place. So every relationship. So whether we think about relationship, our relationship with ourselves, and you know as well as I do, that sometimes the most complicated and difficult relationship we have in our lives is with ourselves. So whether we're talking about our relationship with ourselves, or whether we're talking about a relationship with a spouse, partner, a son or a daughter, family members, whether we're talking about relationship with our neighbour or our friends, or people who are of different cultures and different languages, or just different politics and different ethics and so on. Whether we're talking about our relationship with the earth on which we stand, or the animals that live in the fields or on the mountains, or even the sea on which we sail and the sky in which we fly. All of creation in good relationship with God and all of creation. And this has massive implications. It's about love, honor, respect, and blessing. Okay, that's just the introduction. How are we doing? Okay. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Now, the basis of this blessing is God. Deuteronomy 32, we have the words of Moses, he is the rock. Speaking of God, his works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. I'm sure there's a song, yeah, something about that, isn't there? But it's the character of God. His ways are just, upright and just is he. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Why? Because this is something, love expresses itself in justice. That's what we see, the outworking of love. And so those who hunger and thirst for justice are speaking of the outworking of the character of God. Well, that this is from Deuteronomy. Well, we can turn to the prophets, and these are just some of them: Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, and Micah. And each one of them are reflecting the heart of God. Each one of these prophets are sent by God to speak to God's people. These are people who have been chosen by God, not because they have the biggest armies or the most successful and largest economy or the greatest amount of land or anything like that. In so many ways, God's people were not impressive. But God said to them, I've chosen you because I love you and you are mine. But it wasn't long before God's people went off track and they began living in injustice and worshipping other gods and not treating one another in that good and beautiful relationship with God, with themselves, and with the rest of creation. And so these prophets are sent to speak God's word to them. And I was wondering this week, you know, if we did a survey, what did the prophets say, encapsulate, just in a word or in a sentence, what is the message of the prophets to God's people? You know, it would take a while, but what would it be? And we're going to find out this morning. Isaiah went to God's people and said, the Lord is a God of justice. For I, the Lord, love justice. Ezekiel went and said, suppose there is a righteous or a just, suppose there is a just man who does what is just and right. That man is righteous, just. He will surely live, declares the sovereign Lord. So Ezekiel is painting a picture for God's people and saying, look, who's going to live? That's what you want to do, isn't it? You want to live and you want to live well. Who's going to live well? It is the one who is just. Jeremiah says, your father defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Isn't that what it means to know me? Says the Lord. Isn't that what it means to defend the cause of the poor and needy? Isn't it right that what it means to know God is to do justice? Isaiah again, learn to do what's right. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless. Please plead the case of the widow. And Amos, Amos didn't want to be a prophet. He's not the only prophet who didn't want to be a prophet. But he's cried to the people, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Because when the prophets went and spoke to the people, so often they would say, look, we worship God. Come to our sacred place and see the offerings we make. Hear the songs that we sing. And Amos said, away with your songs. You know, trash your worship. What I desire is that justice will roll like a river, like righteousness like a never-failing stream. And then a verse that we would know well. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God, from Micah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. At the heart of the message of the prophets is this call for justice, because God is love, and in love he is working towards peace and wholeness, and the outworking of that love is seen in justice. So the prophets time and time and time again say, act justly. Live in justice. Put away injustice. I find these Beatitudes challenging. I don't know about you. I find them challenging. Jesus in this beatitude says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied." And I find this beatitude a little bit difficult, because I realize that on occasion I do find that those who hunger and thirst for justice, those who are perpetual campaigners for what is right and just, sometimes they annoy me. Sometimes they slow down my day. Sometimes I turn over Radio 4 in the morning because I want a lighter start to my day. And yet Jesus says, listen, the very people who annoy you, who irritate you, who upset your day, those who hunger and thirst for justice, guess who's going to be satisfied? It's not going to be you. It's going to be them. They will be satisfied in the hungering and thirsting for justice. And so, whether we speak of war, this is a picture from Ukraine, but we could speak of so many other wars across the world today, and so many different places of conflict. And maybe this comes to us quite easily and readily when we think about those who hunger and thirst for justice. And we understand, once we scratch beneath the surface, that so often wars are more complex than a binary. And sometimes there are issues involved in wars that are not always easy to untangle. And we can go back generations sometimes to understand the cause of wars. But there are many who don't just pray for the end of war, but they actively pursue it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Or we could think about food poverty and the abhorrence of the fact that the use of food banks has so dramatically increased in recent years. The fact that families would otherwise be going without basic foods and basic household things if it were not for food banks. And there are those who have set up food banks, and we know them perhaps well. And there are those who don't just pray for justice, but they actively seek it. So we may think today about food poverty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for to their joy they will be satisfied. We recently had the anniversary of the Grenfell disaster. Every time I drive to see my children in London, I drive down the M40 and then the A40. And I don't know if you've done that route, but as you drive along the A40, in the distance on the left, you can just about see Wembley Stadium if you look carefully and at the right moment. But glaringly obvious, within metres of the A40, is the Grenfell Tower, still looking just like that. And that dreadful night on which, was it 78 people died? And there are people still campaigning today for justice, saying what happened that night was not right. And what led up to that event was not right. And the desire for some sort of projection of, you know, let's coat these towers in something that looks more posh, I don't know. You know, and that led to the fire being so devastating. Or perhaps it was the profit margins that companies were looking for. And there are campaigners, and they may annoy us, the fact that they keep on going on. But Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. They're the ones who will be satisfied. And then in indigenous peoples, this is a picture of indigenous people, Aboriginal people from Australia, where the Women's Football World Cup is presently going on. And that's the excitement in my family. Or the indigenous peoples in the Americas. And it's so easy for us to say, as a historically a colonizing power, to say, well, you know, they should just give it a rest. Because it's all in the past. What was done to the indigenous peoples in Australia, or North America, or Central America, the way we hold up certain figures in history, like Christopher Columbus, as heroes, and once you scratch beneath their history, the surface of their history, you realize the absolute abhorrence of what they did to claim the land. And there are indigenous peoples who refuse to be silenced. And they say, we will keep going because a great injustice has been done historically. And Jesus says to them, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, because they are the ones who will be satisfied. Or we could speak about racism. We mentioned chatting earlier about racism and young people born just with a different colour skin. It's not something they've done. It's just who they are. And yet our world, or so much of our world, is against those who have a different skin colour. And there are injustices that are being perpetrated every moment of every day. And so often we'll just ignore it, or we will say, well, it's just the way it is, you know. But Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. And then there are those who are born and live as women. And whether we like it or not, our society has been, certainly in recent centuries, massively patriarchal. And we may not like that, or we may like that. I know, I'm pretty sure that as a man, I have benefited from the patriarchy, the bias towards the male, the bias towards men. I don't think that's right. I don't know what to do about it. I am where I am. I honour all of those organisations who cry out for justice for women. I was listening to a discussion on Radio 4. Yeah, that's my radio station of choice. But I was listening to a discussion the other day about justice for women and the patriarchy and history and all this kind of thing. And it was so good to hear the eloquence of those who were crying out, hunger and thirsting for justice. And Jesus says of them, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, they will be satisfied. And we can go on and think about women's rights and the hashtag MeToo movement. And I recognize that even within my lifetime, even within a short generation, the politics and the ethics around treatment of women has changed. And it's no longer appropriate to do some things that back in the 60s and 70s were considered completely normal. And it's so easy to say, look, you know, let the past be the past. Let bygones be bygones. And there are those who campaign, who hunger and thirst for justice, who say it is not right what has happened. And our energies are aimed at correcting this. Blessed are those, Jesus says, who hunger and thirst and continue to do so for justice, for they will be satisfied. Just this week, you may have seen the news about a man who was released from prison who'd suffered a miscarriage of justice. Was it 17 years? Something like that. He'd been in prison. A miscarriage, we say, of justice, because our courts are not courts of justice, they are courts of law. There's something different in that. They're not courts of justice. They are courts of law. They abide by the law. But they cannot always apply justice. But this campaigner has been in prison for 17 years. I was hearing on another discussion on the radio how there will be compensation paid to this man because of those 17 years. But did you know that he will have to pay the prison service for board and lodgings for the last 17 years? And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, who point out what is wrong, who say the difficult things and the awkward things and the things we don't want to hear, because they are the ones who will be satisfied. And we can talk about environmental abuse and climate change and the difficulties that we're all beginning to experience with the change in the weather. And we can look down on the Just Stop Oil movement, and we can laugh at them and mock them and say, just stop doing this because you're upsetting the flow of traffic in central London, or you're messing up with the World Snooker Final or Wimbledon or whatever it is, because we want our entertainment. And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. They're the ones who will be satisfied. Or we could speak about domestic abuse and the way that that impacts both children and partners. So often this happens silently and we know nothing about it. But there are those who work for the exposure of domestic abuse. And we should honour them. Or we could speak about wealth inequality. I've spoken before about, you know, how much wealth the wealthiest have. You know, I think I would have to, or any one of us, and the figures may be inaccurate, but it's along these lines, I would have to earn, I think it's £10,000. I think it's a minute. £10,000 or something like that, a minute. Every minute of every hour for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For how long to have the same amount of money that Jeff Bezos has? Any guesses? It's actually over 2,000 years. I would have to earn £10,000 every minute. Now, the figures, I might have skewed the figures, but there's some extraordinary. And you say, what are you saving for? There are people who have gone without. And we say, well, he's earned it. He's earned it. And there are all sorts of justifications we make for wealth inequality, whether on the macro scale or the micro, the big scale or the small scale, wealth inequality within our own communities. The fact that some have so much and some have so little. That some have a pension that is way above the working wage of others. And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. And issues then around suicide and the huge numbers of men and women who take their lives because of their sense of helplessness. Or we could speak, this is not going to go on forever, but we could speak about the conflict in Israel-Palestine. Who is right and who is wrong? Or we could speak of those who are refugees, whether Syria or Ukraine or Sudan or the Yemen or many other countries around the world. The list goes on and on and on. And we say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. And the challenge for us, in one way, sometimes we use this phrase, you know, so-and-so is on the right side of history, or so-and-so is on the wrong side of history, whatever that means. The challenge for us is, which side do we want to be on? What matters to us? Do we fundamentally want to be on the side of justice? And that means not just praying for justice, but saying, what can I do? How can I be within that outworking of the love of God, which is justice? How can I be within God's plan, God's work, God's activity to work towards peace and wholeness in our world and our community? Amen.